Bible faith is an absolute, consummate confidence in God's inerrant word. It's absolute confidence that cannot be shaken. That's what real faith is all about. Praise God. So living by biblical faith. Now, we have to appreciate when I talk about faith, I'm talking about biblical faith. People have faith to believe that if they'll wait for the truck to pass before they get out into the walking lane, they have faith to believe that they won't be smashed. That's good. That's natural faith. You know, if you step out in front of the truck, you have that faith to believe you better not do that. I'm not talking about natural faith. All of us need to have it in many areas of life. We're talking about biblical faith. And it requires discipline, because biblical faith is not easy. Biblical faith takes application, and it takes discipline. It's somewhat laborious at first until we have our mindset transformed. See, that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about, having our mindset transformed. You think that's easy? People get in a rut. They have certain, that's just like when you're trying to win people to Christ, every once in a while you'll run into people that are just as hard as a rock. I mean, you can't move them from some erroneous situation that they have, and they just won't respond. So let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 again and see why it's important. Because it's that mindset we have to work with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, read with me, please, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because God knows that you get things imprinted in your mind. And you know yourself, there's events in your life that get imprinted in your mind and you can't forget them. Every once in a while, something will happen that'll remind you of it and just come back like a flash. And something that happened maybe a long time ago. So the diabolical canards or lies of the devil have been accepted by many. And though false, we have become comfortable, now watch it, with his deceptions. First, we must recognize the sophistry, however you pronounce the word, of the devil. In other words, the trickery. He's been at this for a long time. And he is very glib. He's very, very, he's very good at how he operates. But he operates under sophistication. You know, you've heard of the word sophistication. Well, if you take that word sophisticate and sophistry, it puts the idea in mind that it's falsely presented. It's not based on fact. It's just based on what you see. So without disciplined effort, change is absolutely impossible. If you just understand human nature. False deductions that we have assumed that are valid may be the very satanic delusion that is inhibiting our success, our comfort zone. We have that, you know, a comfort zone. It must be invaded and either altered or truncated or erased. And even though it's seemingly difficult, that is the process we have to go through, because our mind is our biggest problem. That's why it says be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So you think about, we use the term conversion. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If you hear a new created spirit. So you can appreciate that God has equipped us to be able to overcome what has been embedded in our minds. It's false. False theories, false ideas, false isms and axiom and so on. You get this, and people just take it as being fact, taking it being as gospel, so to speak. But it brings a great deal of difficulty to people's lives. So that's why I like to give a little introduction to the substance of faith. obviously the answer to all of the delusion I just mentioned, all of those circumstances can be solved, but only by faith in Christ, faith in His Word. All things are possible to the one who believes. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. If we can look at this. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, our confession, Christ Jesus. Right there, right off the top, you know that if we have the change that God desires for us to have, we're going to have a different confession than we had before. We're not going to be two-faced. We're not going to have a good confession at church and have one whale of a bad confession elsewhere. We're going to be consistent. That's what God's looking for, consistency. So since Jesus is the apostle of our confession and He is the Word made flesh, John 1:1, let's get that up for John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and so on. It's just powerful. And so, and we are confessing and standing on His Word, and in doing so, it will produce results. Why? Because John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. So we have that divine connection. So let's go into a little bit deeper here today. Words transmit images. And they're right. Look at John 6:63 first. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. For instance, let me show you that a word can create an image. Dog. Now, all of your mind, you've seen some sort of a dog. But if I say red dog, now you've seen a special little dog. If I say a little teeny toy dog, you see a little poodle, don't you? You see how words can create images? So there is a revolutionary spirit life in God's Word when spoken in faith. We're building the case here, folks. You're the jury. I'm the spiritual attorney up here trying to convince you from the Word of God about what's what. And it's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to take it and use it for the glory of God. So it's revolutionary and it's inside of us. So that is why it's important to agree with God and to say what God says. See, you can memorize, you can say all kinds of isms and axioms and all kinds of things that are good, but it's the Word of God that moves mountains. So why not put the Word of God to memory instead of just remembering all these separate eutherisms and euphonisms or all those different things that we remember very easily? Why not get the Word of God in so when the devil throws something at you, boom, you can quote the Word of God. You can come right back in. But God said, you know what happened when God said, Brother Dana referred to it in Genesis 1. When God said, something happened. Something that wasn't came into being. Can the people say amen today? So we need to agree with God and agree to what He says. Words are important because they carry with them either a maniacal spiritual force leading to evil, or a godly force that leads to righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now notice Matthew 12:35. I believe we can get that up there. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Seems very logical. But I say to you that every idle word, we've used these scriptures from time to time, you're going to keep seeing me punctuate the truth with this, because without this we have no foundation. And then it says every idle word may say that they may speak, they will give an account of it. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Every idle word in some way will be weighed fairly by God, and it'll have a given account in the day of judgment. So it's something very strong. So the Amplified puts it this way. I always like to get it this way because it puts it more in a language that most people can really digest. A good man from his inner good treasure. See, if you don't have it inside, then you're a phony. Let's just be honest about it. You're a phony. If you're not real inside and all you have is a front and a cover from the front, then you're a phony baloney. You just have a front, but you're not the real thing. So it says, I knew you'd like that real good. Two people got identified and they felt very, I saw them get red in the face. I knew which one was the phony right away. Help me, Jesus. Now I'm just trying to get through this message. A good man from his inner good treasure flings, I like the way this translation, forth good things. And the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. And in verse 36 in the Amplified, it goes even further. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every evil inoperative, non-working word that they speak. Verse 37 says, by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned and sentenced. So you can see we're not overly emphasizing the value of words. I mean, if you can't see how clear the scriptures are dealing with what comes out of your mouth, I don't know what more has to be done to prove it to you. Words transmit fear or they transmit faith. God's word transmits faith. See, if you just stand on the words of man, you may feel stable one day, but the trouble with the word of man is not stable. One day it's here and one day it's down. One day it's up, one day it's down. One day the standard is here and the next day the standard has changed drastically. And so the society keeps shifting all over the place. You know, if you've lived any amount of years, you know, if you're just say 50 years old and you can remember back when you were 10, 15 years old or whatever it was, and some of you can go back further or less. But you know, if you've had a good view of what was happening around you, I think you'd agree with me that things are different now than they were. Morals are different now. People are more outward. And when do you remember in the old days where people bragged about being, a person that practiced something in the way of sexual activity or whatever that was not scriptural? They would hide in the corner. They wouldn't be bragging about it. Now we know more about the five colors. We know more about transgenders than we know about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I'm just trying to just let you remember that things have changed. And they're on the verge always of changing further. And it's always, that force is always to get us to be more degraded, more demeaned. There's a force that just is, you know what it is? It's the curse. See, if you don't understand that what happened when Adam and Eve sinned, a curse came upon earth. So to win, you've got to overcome the curse. And so by far and large, many people are just flowing down the river of curse and have not changed. And so they just live in infidelity, they live in immorality and think nothing of it. In fact, they think that this is what is happening today and we need to herald it. We need to make it known. And we need to create bathrooms for people who don't know who they are yet. I mean, really, if we did everything, how many bathrooms would you have to have? You'd have to have a transgender, a bisexual one, and homosexual one. Well, it does sound strange, but that's what's happened to our society. Just give you a picture. And it's not done yet. It's still deteriorating day by day by day. And that's how we know that Jesus is coming soon. The day will come where God will be fed up with it. And say, you know, the Bible says He's long-suffering that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what you're seeing. You can say, well, why doesn't He come? Because He's long-suffering. Well, one day He will shut that off. And when that happens, the trump of God's going to sound, and He's going to take His believers out. you're coming out. Praise God. So we have to appreciate then that if we're not careful with our vocabulary, we'll be, you know, complimenting the devil rather than God. Let's look at Mark 11:23. It's one of my favorite scriptures. For surely I say to whoever says, see how important what you say, to the mountain, be removed, be cast to sea, and does not doubt. See, that's where faith comes in. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes, which is the result of faith, that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, if belief in God produces faith, then belief in what the devil says produces doubt and fear. 1 John 4:18, Paul says here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The devil is a purveyor of lies, and it produces doubt and fear. That's his job. 2 Corinthians 4:13, look at this. And since we have the same spirit of faith, now watch how it changes, according to what is written, I have believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. In other words, our words line up with our faith in him. Paul makes a positive faith statement in Romans 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life is Christ Jesus. Let me try that again. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice two laws there. The law of sin and death, we overcome it by the law of Christ that lives inside us. How did the spirit of life get in him, Paul here? It was transmitted to him by God's word. Let's prove it. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you hear it too much? One time a dear person came to visit me in California, and at the time we was having revival around there. So this person, as they went, she went from house to house, a different one, she said, all you people know out here is the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Seemed like she got tired hearing about the Lord. She was a good person. She just came to hear something else about California, and wasn't prepared to hear the word every place she went. That's the way it was. So, but the Spirit of God was in Paul, and so he could speak it up. Faith comes by hearing. He heard it. He practiced it. So the Bible says, take heed what you hear. Look at Mark 4:24 in the Amplified. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, we're really learning some lesson here today. It matters what you say, and now we're talking about it matters what you hear. Well, I think this is really good stuff. Well, I didn't expect you to jump up and down. It's not like I didn't bring any jumping ropes. I didn't really expect. If you sit, now I'm telling you this though, if you sit under a teaching that is not teaching the truth, that spirit of error will attach to your spirit. And many people who have been, I remember witnessing to a person, had a great knowledge of the Word of God in the Old Testament, but was really confused when they got into the New. I don't mind telling you, you get into Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll fool you. The very knowledge of the Old Testament for sure, and they can put on a pretty good front unless you have a good ear to hear what they think about Jesus and how they think about the New Testament. I'll never forget, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came in out of the lobby one day, and I was happened to be right there where they came in. They said, oh pastor, we want you to know that we believe in being born again. They were trying to trick me into believing, you know, by using a statement. They knew no more about being born again than that a cow eats, chews its own cud, or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know if that worked out right or not. But if you say that, no, what I was going to say though about this person, I love this guy, was trying to tell him about the truth, and I could not move him because he was embedded in that error, and there was nothing I can do to move him. So if you sit under that kind of teaching, something's going to look at Galatians 6 and 7. 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that's also what he's going to reap. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Boy, we really see all kind of laws coming into action here. The more of God's truth that you believe and the more that you have in your heart, the greater the benefits that will come to you. Faith that comes from the Word gives you the ability to conceive something that's impossible. That's what faith is, seeing something you can't see. Wow. Better just slow down a little bit. I think people are getting ready to choke with it. Clear your throat real good. There we go. The ability to conceive. Now watch. It's a spiritual conception in your heart and mouth that may not have manifested in a material realm yet. See, faith is believing for something you cannot see. But in your spirit, you visualize it. So I do believe in visualization. You can't literally, physically see it, but faith sees something happening before it begins. It's just a truth in the Word of God you just have to learn to accept. Now, let me give you a good example here in a minute. The things that God has declared in His Word are yes and amen. It doesn't matter what it feels like, what it looks like, what someone else says about it. If God said it, that absolutely settles it. Have that? So you must agree with God on the matter. And I'm going to show you that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to go through that very process herself. Now watch it. Now I gave you one scripture. Let me go back to this. I want you to see this. This is in Luke, the first chapter. Now watch this. A very important lesson to learn about conception. Here's the way it goes. And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, now watch this very closely, listen closely. This is the angel speaking to Mary. Rejoice highly, favored one. I'm proving to you that she was not chosen before. She was not special before. She did not have an immaculate conception. Jesus is the immaculate conception, not Mary. Now just listen closely. I got the Word to prove it here. And let's see. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice highly. And I read that. Now let me go to the next verse. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She had no idea what the angel was talking about. She was not prepared ahead of time. Saying and considered what manner of greeting was that. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said, now listen, you're following the story. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? I've never been intimate with a man. How can it possibly be that I am going to be pregnant in this manner? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has been conceived of a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, then. She had to hear the Word. She had to hear the truth from the angel first. And then Mary said, behold, the handmaiden, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to the Word. And the angel departed. Let it be according to the Word. See, you have to hear the word, but the word has to be conceived. Before the child was conceived in her womb, the word had to be conceived in her heart and in her mind. She had to accept it, engulf it inside of her. And then, 9 months later, she gave birth to a child. I didn't know if you wanted to get that deep into it, but I just thought I'd just throw that out to you. I see one person going, I guess, I don't know, he's back. Maybe a couple people doing some backstrokes on that. Biblical faith is the ability to conceive what God has declared. Mary conceived in her heart God's word before she conceived Jesus in her womb, as I said, and subsequently bore physically before and so on, before she had the physical proof. For he who is mighty, she says, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Luke 1:48. That's what she felt after that. And she received the word of the angel, and she considered the matter settled. That's what faith does. Now imagine, to her, it was physically impossible. Now I know there's different ways to impregnate a woman today with in vitro and all that, but in those days, you have to just appreciate. She was with Joseph, but there was fidelity in the relationship. She had had no intimacy. So she knew that physically it was impossible for a woman to have a child without that. And so it took convincing, it took the Holy Spirit through the angel convincing her that this was a spiritual occasion. And she was humble enough, religious enough, that she accepted the word of the angel. And it only was after that that she became pregnant with Jesus, and thus came Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Well, that's good stuff there. I know it's kind of a little right to the point there. There is an indomitable spiritual force called faith. There is an infrangible spirit life in God's word. And that's why faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There is a dynamic faith force, an incalculable spiritual power that is capable of bringing to pass those things that seem impossible. The things that are impossible with God, possible with man, is possible with God. So if it's been received in your spirit, then all things are possible to the one who believeth. You say, yeah, but there are no buts. Yeah, but my experience. Your experience does not overrule the word of God. You see, you can never judge whether God does what he says he'll do by other people. No matter how holy they may seem, no matter who they are, how close they're related to you, you must keep your individual faith in Christ and know that he is the truth. Walk with him. Keep your hand in his hand. And no matter, you see, because if you keep your eye, here's what the Bible says. If we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, why do you think that verse is there? Because our normal inclination is to walk by sight. Yeah, but Brother Dave, I saw this. Yeah, but I have this indication. Yeah, but Brother Dave, I have this. They said this. In the truth of God's word, faith, remember I said it's the consummate confidence? Faith overcomes all of that. Because faith knows that God's not a man that he can lie. He's not limited by human limitations. God's the God of the universe. He can do all things. So it doesn't matter what it is. Keep your eyes. You see, if you were a pilot and there was a big storm going on your radar screen on your plane while you're flying, all you see is all these green things that go across one of those screens like that, showing you that there's rain out there, there's a storm. But the advantage of radar is that you can see through the storm. And radar tells you exactly how long you have to go before you hit the end of the storm. It'll say it's 200 miles, then there's clearing on the other side. Right. I want to tell you, your faith says it don't matter what you say, devil, there's clearing on the other side. Hallelujah. I said, there's clearing on the other side in the name of Jesus.